Hey, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you guys. Hey, can we give Jesus Christ praise this morning? Wow, God is so good. You know, on the way over here this morning, church, I'm not going to lie, I had to get my attitude in check because I was getting to this place to where on the way to church, I was thinking about how after today, I mean, we've got our Christmas Eve service, but then you know what? Christmas is gone. And I just asked the Lord, and I know for some of us, it's a very difficult time. I told you guys how I kind of struggle with it my own self at times, but as I was reflecting of all that God has done this year, I just kind of wish he would hit the brakes on it a minute. You know, to hit the brakes on your successes, to hit the brakes on the achievements and everything God has got you through this last year. Has God got anybody through anything this year? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. He's done an amazing work in our church. This was the year we got new flooring in the front. Yeah, we got new flooring up here. We had so much done this year. I was thinking about what's going to be happening here in the next few days. So if also to December, mark this down, December 24th, if at 6 o'clock, we're going to be doing our candlelight service. So we want to invite you guys, come out for our candlelight service. You guys are going to love it. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be an amazing time where it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. But we're going to get together, we're going to pray, we're going to worship Jesus, and you're going to hear a word straight from his word, and it's going to be good. So I want to invite you guys to come out at 6 o'clock on December 24th. Also, too, December 31st, our praise party. Have you guys heard about it yet? If you haven't heard about it, check us out on Facebook, like and share the post, praise party, starting at 10 o'clock till midnight, and we're going to praise God. You know what? Nobody can praise God like Christians can praise God, amen? This is going to be a time where some people say Christians don't know how to party, but they forget, all right? We can get crazy if we want, right? And so December 31st from 10 o'clock to midnight, we're going to be praising the Lord. Share it, like it, invite people. We're going to be doing giveaways. We're going to be doing a word. I wanted to show you guys something. One of the things that we're going to be doing is passing out. Check this out. This is so cool. My friend Kenny. Let's give it up for Kenny. No greater name. No greater name. And you know what? So Kenny made a bunch of shirts for us for our New Year's Eve party, December 31st, and they're going to be getting thrown out left and right for free. So invite a friend. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to be sharing a word that God's laid on my heart for new beginnings, a new year. Pastor Luke Frechette from South Beach Church is going to be here, my brother from another mother, and we're going to be giving it as hard as we can give it to you guys on December 31st with worship, and I want to encourage you, come on out if you can make it. It's going to be an amazing time. Also, how many of you guys are ready for Christmas? Yeah. How many are not? Okay, so let me tell you where you can go. Food fair. Okay, you can shop at food fair. That's, fellas, if you haven't gotten it together yet, let me tell you what's open. Food fair, Shell gas station. Because other than that, we are in big trouble. So if you got some stuff to catch up on, you better catch up on it today. Amen. So youth groups canceled also until January 8th. Last announcement. I don't like going into announcements because I don't like getting worn out before a message. Amen. Sometimes you can just go on and on and on. We got to get into the word. But this one's important. January 8th or 9th, you guys will have to check my timing on this. It's a Wednesday. We are starting up Wednesday night Bible study, 6 o'clock. It's going to be insane. You guys, come out. I want you to show up on Wednesday night because we need to get fed more than once a week. Could you imagine if you just ate once a week, how ugly you'd look? We don't want to be like that spiritually. We don't want to walk around ugly and all malnourished, and we want to hear the word of God and have fellowship and pray. Okay, so with that, we're ready. You guys got your Bibles, Luke chapter 1. Can I get a little light? Do we got some problem with the light? Jesus is the light, amen. There we go. Let's pray and we're going to get into the word of God. Lord, thank you for this brief moment of time that we've got to get into your word, to give you praise, to see you in a maybe in a little different way than we haven't seen before, God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your birth, coming into this world of darkness, Lord, of sin, bearing our cross, our shame, forgiving us of all of our sins. We love you, Jesus. Have your way in this word and in this place today. And the church said, amen. Luke chapter 1, we're going to be starting in verse 57. But last week we were talking about Mary. And do you remember what an amazing girl Mary was? I don't know what you think of when you think of the girl Mary, but she was so extraordinary. You guys have to remember, she's about 14, 16 years old. She gets pregnant. She's going through this season in her life that is miraculous. And the Bible told us that one of the things that Mary did is that she got on a donkey, she put all her makeup in the purse, her hair, spray, everything, and it said with haste made her way down to Elizabeth down in Judea. Now, one of the things that we pass over is that's 80 miles south of where she was at. Sex traffickers, robbers, animals. And it didn't say anybody went with her. She went by herself. This girl had amazing faith at 14 to 16 years old that if God gave her a promise, she knew he was going to fulfill it. And she went down with haste to see her cousin Elizabeth, who the Bible told us was 6 months farther along than she was. And that's a reminder. You remember what I told you guys last week? It's always good to get with people who are farther along in the Lord than us. Amen. Because as my friend Linda says, dead batteries can't charge dead batteries. Amen. And so we need to get around people who'll charge us up, build us up, pray over us. Not just say, hey, you know what? The best thing for you to do is just go get drunk and forget about it. How many of you guys know that doesn't work? You get drunk and tomorrow is going to be worse than it was today. Amen. So we want to have people that encourage us in the Lord. So she goes and she sees Mary, Elizabeth, who is an encourager to her, 6 months farther along than she is. And then we saw that praise that Mary gave, it was called the Magnificat, where she was praising God. And do you remember how she created that song? It was out of scripture. This girl, 14, 16 years old, gets on a donkey, horse, I don't care what, by herself, jams down 80 miles, knows the word of God better than Zechariah, who's 70, 80-year-old priest in the temple, and she creates a song that praises God for all that he is. She had amazing character before she had an amazing calling. And I wanted to remind you guys, we need to worry about our character, and God will take care of our calling. That's a word for somebody, because you know what we want? We want the calling. We want to walk in the here and now. We want God to bless us now. But guess what? Sometimes we're not ready to be blessed. We've got to develop our calling first and our character, and God will develop our calling. And so Mary hops down, and she goes down with this amazing character. She goes down to Judea to see Elizabeth. And so now, in verse 57, it says, now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son, and her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. It says the son was born. It was a promise that God had made to him, but it didn't start out good, did it? It took a long time. Long time for that promise to come forth. In fact, what we saw was the promise turned out where Zechariah was a man of God in the house of God with doubt in his heart. And I wonder if some of you in here today, you believe in God, you're in the house of the Lord, but you got doubt in your heart that God can bless other people. He was a priest, and that's what he would push. He was a hope pusher. But then in his own life, he needed to push hope in his own self. Do you ever get like that? Where you're trying to pour into other people, but you're struggling to believe for yourself? How hard that is. And so Zechariah is in the house of God with doubt in his heart, and he didn't believe the promise that God had made. But now it says that they had borne a son, and his faith was really messed up, wasn't it? He gets a word from God. God's going to do it. He's going to provide a way. He's going to make a way. And then what's he say? How can this be? I don't believe this. But yet it says that they still, the promise of God still took in their life. And here's why. Because our faith, although it's imperfect, our faith, check this out, it's not the substance of our faith that gets God to move, it's the object of it. Because if we put our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ, as futile as it is and as messed up as it is, nobody in here's got perfect faith. It's in the object of our faith, not the substance of it. Thank you, Jesus, because if it was in the substance of it, we'd be in big trouble. Do you guys remember in Mark chapter 9, the guy that had that kid where the demons had gotten a hold of him and was throwing him down in his life, and they wanted Jesus to rebuke the demons out of this kid, and Jesus asked him, he says, do you believe? And what did the guy say? It says he cried out, and he says, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Has that ever been you? God, I believe, I love you, Lord, but this thing looks big. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I love you, God, but help me with my unbelief. Check it out. It's in the object, not the substance. Because you know what Jesus did? He healed him. Changed that boy's life. Changed the father's life. Regardless of the faith that this father had, thank you, Jesus, that it's not the substance of our faith. Amen? And so now, check out verse 59. It says, on the eighth day, they came to circumcise a child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. So, in verse 60, but his mother answered, and she said, no, we shall call his name John. Circumcised on the eighth day. So Zechariah, he has everybody come over to the house, and it's on the eighth day, and it says that everybody is there to have a party. They're not talking trash about Elizabeth anymore. But they used to, didn't they? Didn't they? Talking about how she had reproach and how she was cursed by God and God didn't want nothing to do with her. But now look at them, church. They're all hanging out with her, liking all her stuff on Facebook. It's good now. It's good now. Hey, there's a point right there. Can I just tell you that you don't need to worry about getting even because God will bless you in front of your enemies? You're just going to have to give it some time a little bit, and don't worry about getting even. You just stay the course, and God's going to do a work in front of your enemies. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, for it. He'll bless you right there. Because you know what? God can get people back in your life better than you could ever think about it. But we're all about love. Amen? And so now she's blessed. So now she's blessed. And it says that they all got together, and they were having this party on the eighth day for circumcision. That's what they would do. When kids would be born, if it was a son, they'd have a party, and everybody would come over, and they'd be popping balloons and everything and circumcising children. Sounds like a great day, right? I mean, as long as you're not like, you know, you're over, you know, 4 months old or whatever. So anyway, so they're over there, and they're wanting to circumcise them. And the circumcision was the sign of a covenant that God had made with Abraham that signified removing the flesh, a separation from the flesh, from the spirit. God had called his people, and they were to be special and set aside and separate for God, and he had a special relationship with them because they were to walk by the spirit and not by the flesh, because the word of God says that you cannot please God by walking in the flesh. And can I also tell you that when you separate yourself from the world, that God has a special relationship for you? He wants somebody to step up and say, hey, listen, I'm going to separate myself from all the garbage I got going around that's all around me. And by the way, that's a good word for us. Separate yourself from things that are keeping you from God. Keep away from the things that keep you away from God. And you know you got triggers. Hello? People, places, problems. You know what triggers are, right? Some of us old timeies know what the triggers are. We've gone through the steps and the programs, and we can identify them pretty good. And there's triggers in our life. And you know what? We got to separate ourselves. We circumcise our heart, and we separate ourselves from the world. And we say, God, we want you to use us any way that you can use us, Lord. And you know what? He's got a special relationship for us, for those of us who separate ourselves from the world. And so they circumcise John says in chapter 1, verse 60, but his mother, they wanted to name him, and he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what they wanted him to be called. And he asked for his tablet, and he wrote down his name, and he says, his name is John. And they all wondered at what kind of boy this would be. Now, I get it, wanting to name somebody else's kid some other name that ain't your kid. Anybody? Do we got any grandparents in there? And your kids are coming up with stuff like Waldo, Emerson, Burl. And you're like, what are you naming them for that for? It's like, I totally get trying to name somebody else's children. I've done it with all of my kids. I'm telling you, all of my kids, when they've had kids, it's gotten to the point where I've told my kids, I'm like, listen, I want you to name them this. And we've fought. You talk about knockdown dragouts. We fight over baby names. And sometimes I get my way, and sometimes I have not got my way. And so my middle daughter, Erica, she's pregnant right now. Thank you, Jesus. God loves babies. And I said, you know what's a really good name? Maranatha. And you know what? You should write that down for you guys waiting to get pregnant. Maranatha. Now, that's a word for somebody. And you know what? Erica knows that if she even gives me a crack, I'm running with it. I'm like, Maranatha, it's so scriptural, it's so unique, it's so you, it's so now. And she comes back and she goes, no, Dad, her name is Galilee. And it was like, that was it, cut off, shut up, that's the end of it. And I remember I was just like, that is so rude. How can you not let me name your babies? Am I the only one that wants to name these kids and save them from like total life of being bullied? So, hey, it's in the Bible, so you better be careful. So they say, no, his name is going to be John, because that's the name God gave me to put on my kid. By the way, don't let nobody label your children but God. You write that down. You make sure that your children know who they are in God, because right now you're living in a culture and a time, church, that wants to label your kids right when they get out the front door, and it's not who God says they are. And you know what? Sometimes, like John, you got to fight some people over it. I'm not naming my kid that. I'm not naming my kid a byproduct of evolution. I'm not naming my kid a number. I'm not going to let my kid decide what they want to be called. Is it crazy today? My kid wants to be called Unicorn, and I'm going to let it go down. Hey, listen. I'm all about dreams, but look, when it comes to vision and calling and destiny and who these babies are, you know who they got to get it from? You. And you download on them what God's downloaded on you. They are loved. They are special. They are unique. They've got calling. They've got purpose. There's a vision and a direction on their life. Zechariah said, you guys keep your mouth shut and hand me my iPad. His name is John. Hey, don't let nobody label your kids. And so John's like, writes it down. His name is going to be John. And so now, after 9 months of dealing with consequences, Zechariah opens his mouth and he praises God. He wasn't bitter against God. Do you remember? He's going through consequences because he doubted. God didn't change his promise, but there was consequences for his unbelief. And instead of getting bitter, he gets better and he praises God. By the way, when you're facing consequences, let it make you better. Let the end result be praise to God. Let the end result be glory to God. Check it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, godly sorrow produces repentance. Means when you get jacked up and you go through the consequences and you come to God and you say, I'm sorry, you know what he does? He doesn't tear you down. He lifts you up. He doesn't break you up. He binds you. He doesn't make you weaker. He strengthens you, because godly sorrow leads to repentance. But check this out. But worldly sorrow leads to death. Have you ever been so depressed and discouraged from worldly sorrow that you might as well take another hit? You might as well shoot up again. You might as well take another drink. You might as well just forget about it. That's worldly sorrow. You're so sorry. You wish you could fix it. You wish things could change. And what it's done is it's led you to vice or addiction. But when we come to Jesus, it leads us to power and strength. Godly sorrow leads to repentance, church. There's something really good about repentance. Clean heart, strengthen my soul. You don't have to go back to the old garbage you came out of. Like a dog returned to its vomit, forget that. We turn to Christ, amen? So he says that his name is going to be John, verse 64. It says, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, what will this kid be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. Thank you, God, that when we repent and we belong to Jesus, his hand is always on us. And so now, in verse 67, we're going to close out with Zechariah's praise prophecy. And this is his own personal praise party by himself, Zechariah. How many of you guys know sometimes you just got to praise the Lord by yourself? You don't need to be here on Sunday. David said, the word of God said, when David was fighting against Ziklag, I think it was, that he had to strengthen himself and encourage himself in the Lord. Because you know what? Sometimes you just ain't got nobody else to do it but your own self. Sometimes I can't get you going. I can't be around. Sometimes you can't have friends around you. But you know what you can do? You can encourage yourself and praise God your own self. And this is what he does. He starts his own personal praise party like it's December 31st at Ark Bible Church at 10 o'clock. Did I get it in? I'm trying. I'm plugging it. Jesus, help me. And so this is the way it starts out. It's in two sections. Make a note. Zechariah first starts out with what God does. And it's all God-centered. And then check it out. The next part of the praise talks about his kid. God, his kid. Side note, don't ever put your kids over the Lord. Listen, if you want your kids to put God over everything in your life, then don't put your kids over everything in your life. God takes first spot. Not hunting, not fishing, not drama class. You know what you want your kids to grow up? Putting God first. And so we want to train our kids in righteousness, because you know what? Here's the deal. Sometimes people just worship their kids. Am I lying? Can I just be real about it for a second? I don't want to go to church today. Okay. You know what I told my church? You better get in the car. That's why I told my kids right now, because I'm going to lay hands on you guys. Like, seriously. Get in the car. We're going to church. You're going to be filled with the presence of God. Now go. Right? And then you guys showing up like nothing ever happened. Like you're one big Christian family. Yeah, we know about you. And so check it out. So in verse 67, this is what he does. He's giving this song, this praise, kind of like Mary did in the Magnificat when she was praising God. And when she was doing it, it's different though, because when Mary was doing it, she was praising God for who he is. But when Zach does it, he's praying God for what he does. And you know what? We need to not just praise God for what he does, but we also need to praise God for who he is. See, here's the problem real quick. We want to praise God when he does. Oh, but if he's not doing, then we're not praising. But can I tell you the reason why we want to praise God for who he is? Because it doesn't matter what he does. Here's the thing about it. when we saw Zechariah in the temple and we see that he's praising God just for what he does, you know what happened to Zechariah's faith when he was in the temple and God wasn't answering his prayer after year after year after year? Zechariah doubted, and there was consequences because God shut up his mouth. And I was thinking about it, that when we praise God, not just for what he does, but who he is, it strengthens our faith in those times where it seems like nothing is going on. And had Zechariah flipped the switch, he could have been praising God even when he didn't see God working in his life. Because we know when nothing seems to be working, guess what? God is still working. And so to encourage our faith in those times, we need to remember who God is. Not just what he does. And so Zechariah, what we're going to see here that he should have done is that when we praise him for who he is, he develops trust in what he does. Does that make sense? Praise him for what he is, and it develops trust in what he does. And I'll tell you, I say that because you don't always like what he does. That's all I'm saying. So when you don't like what he does, when you don't like what's happening, you need to have faith and strength that, hey, listen, God knows what he's doing and it's going to be okay even though I don't like it right now. He's on his throne. He's going nowhere. He can't go anywhere. But we want to have that trust in God. So this is how it starts out. Check it out. Verse 67. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he's raised up a horn of salvation for us. I thought that was kind of weird. I need help, and you've raised up a horn? Okay. Like, why not Schwarzenegger? That's what I'd like to see. He's raised up like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Not now, but like in the 70s, Schwarzenegger. But see, that's what he's saying, though. See, the horn, when you see a horn, it meant power. Because, you know, they didn't have no TV or online. They didn't have no actors. You know what they had? They had wild animals, beasts that had horns that would horn you, stomple you. You see a bull coming, you're running. Type of power. And Zechariah says, not Schwarzenegger, he says, God's raised up a horn like a wild animal that can tear junk up on a whim like that, that's uncontrollable. That's how God is when it comes to redeeming people from sin and slavery and bondage. He's like a powerful beast, just wrecking stuff that used to wreck us. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. See, so the reason why Zacharias is celebrating the first Christmas and about what's about ready to go down is because he says God has visited his people. He has redeemed his people. Now, I just want to tell you something before we move on. We're almost done. That word redeem, circle it. And if you don't have your Bible, circle it in your mind. It's a prison system word. Now, I know ain't nobody been in jail here. Recently, I pray, right? Hopefully God's working in you by now. But here's the thing about it. It's a prison system word, redeem is. And what it meant was being bought out of prison and out of bondage for a price. Because how many of you guys know freedom is never free? If you've ever been in jail before, and I know you haven't, but your neighbor has, there was a time where when they would get visitation, you remember visitation when it was face-to-face? Now it's all Skype-to-Skype or something like that, I don't know. But back in the day, you'd have a mirror or the glass, you remember? And you'd put your lips up there and you'd moochie the glass and they'd kiss you and put your hand up there, remember? And they'd be like, okay, baby, I gotta go now. And your hand's like, I know you got to go, but I want to go too. But I want to go too. And you would watch him walk out the door, and, you know, you'd just be like, man, I wish I could have hopped in that car and just gone home too. But I'm here. Why? Because the price needs to be paid. It's called redemption. And so when Zach uses that word, He's using it in the light that we've all been bound up, locked up, and the key thrown away, and there's been a debt we could not pay. And Jesus didn't just come for visitation. He came to do a jailbreak. Came to do a jailbreak and said, I'm taking you guys out of here. Enough is enough of this. You're coming with me. And he paid a price by his precious blood on the cross. You remember the scripture? He demonstrated in his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the gospel, church. You were so bound up. You were so dead before Jesus. You just didn't even have any idea. Do you know how dead you were? The picture of it is this. Someone who has already drowned for 15 minutes, they're dead. Dead man, 15 minutes in the water. And then the Coast Guard pulls up and they throw a life preserver and they hit him in the head and tell him to grab it. How good's that going to go? Not very good. You know why? Because he can't hear. He can't respond. He can't act. He's dead. He's jacked up. And every one of us in this room were in that same position in the water, so dead we couldn't even respond. And then Jesus Christ came into our life, flipped a switch, and he said, you're mine. And we said, God, I need you. Oh, that's redemption, church. So Zach's praising for the visitation because we've been redeemed. And then he says that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. By the way, he's not talking about physical enemies. He's talking about spiritual. And he says that the oath that he had swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. That covenant, that oath that God had given Abraham, that in Genesis chapter 22, I believe it was, where God told Abraham, through your seeds, the nation shall be blessed. Through your seed, the nation. And check it out. When Luke wrote this, real quick, hang in there with me, please. We're almost done. When Luke wrote this, it had been 2,000 years since God had downloaded into Abraham and said, there's going to be a seed. He's coming. Hold on. And for 2,000 years, every Jew in the world would wake up. Is today the day that that seed's coming? 50 years goes by. Is today the day the seed is coming? 100 years, 300 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. They're wondering, is the seed coming? Come on, you know. Let's think about it for a second. You know. There had to have been generation after generation after generation after people that were saying, when's he coming? To the point to what we're going to see, people just end up giving up. And so now it's like that today. Today, Jesus Christ promises he's going to return in a twinkling of an eye, and it could be today. Everything that needs to happen has happened. We're just sitting on standby. But we look around and we've got so much discouragement because we said 2,000 years ago. Isn't it funny how 2,000 years go by and they're like, where is he? And then it's been 2,000 years and we're like, where is he? And you can get tired of it, but I'm going to tell you, in Jesus' name, he's coming back. And I believe this is the generation for it, amen? Yes. Let's praise God for that, because it's going to happen. And we might be the generation that sees it. And so he says that we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. We're almost done. Holiness and righteousness. Check this out. You can be righteous, but it doesn't mean you're holy. There's a lot of good people who are gooder, and I know that's bad English, but good theology, that are gooder than you. But there's a difference between being righteous, which is good, external. You got it, your finances together, you're smart, you got a career, things are going good, people look at your family, think you're on point. But you know what? You can have righteousness without holiness, but you can't have holiness without righteousness. And God requires that we have both, that we may serve him, come into our calling and our destiny. And now he says about John, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those sitting in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Worship team, come up. I'm going to end on this, and God was just really speaking to me about this as we close this out this morning on this last section here. To give to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Who are trying to get out of darkness, who are fighting the darkness, who have hope in the... No, none of it. None of that. He didn't say that. Read it again. You know what they're doing? They're sitting in darkness. And I'm going to tell you why it's important. Because there comes a time in your life where you get so tired of fighting, struggling, and striving, where you just sit down in it. You know, when Jesus had shown up, they had been in bondage and beaten down so bad that Zacharias says they are sitting in darkness. They ain't even trying to get out. It was 400 years under Pharaoh. It was the seven nations through the books of Judges that were over them. Then it was Assyria, then it was Babylon, then it was Persia, then it was Rome, on and on and on and on it goes. And at some point, these people had gotten so sick and tired of being so sick and tired that when God showed up, they're just sick and tired, sitting. And what Zach says is that Jesus showed up in the middle of their darkness while they were in the shadow of death. And he gave them light. And he gave them life. And I want to talk to the person who's here today, and maybe you're a lot like that, where you've been getting tired. And you've been fighting a lot. And now you're tired. And you're not even trying anymore. You're just sitting down. Can I tell you in Jesus' name that there's a light of life that has come to give you hope and peace? Didn't you see it? To guide your feet in the way of peace. And this is what I want you guys to remember. That for those of us that was sitting in darkness, that Jesus Christ showed up to give us life. And to give us light. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to close out with this for a second. If you're here this morning and that is you, and you've been struggling, and you're just sitting and you're not even trying to move no more, there's a light of life that God has given. You know, Jesus said, I come to seek and save that which was lost. And if that's you this morning, and maybe you've been backsliding, maybe you've been going your own way, maybe you've been doing things your own way and the way that you want to do it, listen, God's inviting you back right now to come into that Prince of Peace who gives us the light of life. So that there's no more struggling against God. That there's no more running away from God. That there's no more fighting against God. That you can have peace today. And so in Jesus' name, I want to pray over you. If there's an area in your life that God's speaking to you right now that you got to give up, maybe repent of. You remember? Godly sorrow leads to repentance. It leads to life. And that's what we need today, to walk out of here better than we walked in here, with the spirit of peace on us, because God's came for us. He's visited us. So bow your heads with me this morning. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We've got no other name to come into your presence other than that name. And Father, we want to lift up our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters who may be tired of fighting, who have given up, and they're sitting. They're just sitting. They're done. No hope, no expectation, no vision. They're so tired of fighting, they just don't even want to fight no more, and they're just going to stick it out where they're at. In Jesus' name, I pray that as they turn their heart to you, that as we confess our sins to you, that God, that the light of life shines in our hearts and you cleanse us of all unrighteousness and give us that peace that you say that you give, that only you can give. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Forgive us of our sins. Guide our ways in the path of peace. We love you and we thank you for coming in as our gift into this world, Jesus. You are magnificent. You are amazing. You are holy. You are good. You are just. You are righteous. Lord, you're powerful. You're our horn of salvation. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your birth and sacrifice for us, Lord. That for those of us that were sitting in darkness, you gave us the light of life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God praise for that gift. Yeah.